Welcome to Emotional Sobriety, the next step in recovery with Dr. Alan Berger and Tom Rutledge.
Everything is possible. We talk about the limitations all the time, but let's look at the flip side of the coin today for the subject. Do you guys identify a nutshell wisdom?
The big difference between passing judgment and exercising judgment. One focuses attention on something I do not control. The other focuses on precisely what I do control.
Brilliant. 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 Tom,
it's the essence. I mean, it's amazing to me how long I have been in recovery and doing, and I'm just in a this may be a critical criticism, but not a negative thing. But, you know, we go through this stuff. We have all the words, we have the concepts. And that's basically what he just read is really another version, as so many things are, of the Serenity Prayer. It's like it's energy efficiency. Living one day at a time, one moment at a time, that's a literal instruction. There is no problem among the three of us in this moment. Now, we can go backwards or forward. We can get one anytime. We can do that easily. But in this moment, we're just three people who love each other having a conversation. I mean, and it's like, we just think about how many moments in your life you just rush past with that. So this nutshell to me is the streamlined version of that, is like, rather than things we can and cannot control, just go like, focus on things you can control. And it's only one thing. It's our own judgment. It's our own thinking. It's our own ability to perceive the world and to respond to the world.
What it reminds me of is the way that I perceive that nutshell wisdom is It really is encouraging differentiation. And
yes,
as he's talked about, you know, through the years now, differentiation is just one way, a concept, a way of thinking about what emotional maturation looks like.
Yes.
And as we mature along that line from a more undifferentiated self to a more differentiated self, is that as we move closer and closer to that differentiated self is what we start to see the differences between things.
Yes.
And like what you were saying, there's such a big difference between me being able to say, I like this, I don't. That's a judgment. Mm-hmm. I want this, I don't want this. I want to do this, I don't want to do this, versus you're not a good person.
Right.
You see, that difference is huge, because when I start to pay attention to what I want and I include myself in my life, which sounds so absurd to say it, but yet I can see that at times I don't do that. I work with a lot of clients that erase themselves from their lives. Mm-hmm. That when we start to show back up, there's room for us to say what we want. There's room for us to have a judgment about what I like and what I don't. And see, what does that boil down to? One of the big topics we had last year when we were doing that, when Roger was able to join us for all of the workshops we did on Thursday night, we talked about self-esteem. Well, that's the hardest self-esteem, is feeling worthy enough to be able to say, hey, I like this, I don't like that. And that's good functioning. That is what we call healthy functioning. I mean, to be able to claim what's important to us, to be able to say what we want and what we don't, is we're really moving in a good direction in our life.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's it. So it's always fun for me when we explore like little nutshells, because a good nutshell basically is just like this ball of information. There's lots and lots of stuff in there. But the other piece, the other flip side of that coin is what I want. But the other piece is to be able to look at something and say, when you say not judgment, it's like that I have no say about that. You know, this is what Alan said. This is what Patrick said. I'm not even being asked the question. You know, it's like, so let it go, Tom. It's like, so what we do is because the little guy in my head would argue and say, but I want to change it. It's like, it doesn't matter. It's like, you know, I want to be able to control alcohol, but it's like, so
yeah.
What?
Well, it's back to these expectations, right? My expectations say that I have to, when I'm immature, I want the world to be what I want it to be. That,
but also, being able to say, I don't have anything to say about that, and that not be a hit on my self-esteem. That's what I was getting.
It's to be a differentiated person. It's like, that has nothing to do with me. That's who they are. That's not a reflection of who I am. See, that's, as we move up that scale of emotional maturity, we don't see things as a reflection of us.
Right, right. And by the way, Patrick, good luck editing that. Alan and I were both talking at the same time through the whole conversation.
Well, sometimes that's okay. I see that our doctors all the
time. Getting back to the serenity prayer, change what we can, accept what we can't. I imagine that for a father, like, this becomes a lot more acute because there's that much more that you don't have direct control over. Like, you're in confrontation every day with things that your schedule is just like, you know, getting yanked back and forth, you know, because now you're accountable, not just to yourself, but, you know, to these other human beings. And I don't know, is there anything about like your experience with fatherhood that?
Well, I embrace that as a sacred duty, almost, is the way I think of it. I feel very blessed to be able to be involved with and to be able to influence the unfolding of another person's life like this in such a significant way. So, you know, I see that as, you know, I got to practice it this morning. Cece comes up to me. She painted this cool little ice cream cone. She's homesick today. She's been sick the last few nights. So she's hanging out and I'm taking care of her during the day. So this morning after we had our debacle with her glasses, one of the little screws fell out of the side of her glass, right? I'll tell you, man, it took me 20 minutes. That's why I was a little late. Getting on my hands and knees, looking on the floor to find this little thing. I finally found it. I was pretty happy with myself that I went to a systematic search screen.
Our big hands doing those little screws.
My God, Tom. Trying to put that thing in that little slot. It was so true, man. I'm sitting there.
If you think you have steady hands, just try to do that. You don't. It's like
she comes up to me with this ice cream cone. She wants. It's beautiful. It was a great little picture. I did everything in the world to not pass judgment on. Mm-hmm. I didn't say to her, "Wow, that's great." You know what I said to her? I said, "Wow, you feel so good about what you just did."
Mm-hmm.
And instead of evaluating it, so that she doesn't worry about my reaction, I reflected her energy. I could see her excitement. So I was able to hold up a mirror to her so that she could start to see herself. See, that's my role as a father, is to help her discover herself as she unfolds and what's important to her or not, and keep a sense of herself. So I love seeing little opportunities like that to create an experience like that. But look, that's taken a lot. I am a much better dad at 73 than I was at 40 years old or 30.
God, if you weren't, something would be wrong with you, man.
It's almost like, you know, I want to apologize to my other kids and say, I'm sorry for who I wasn't back then, right? You know? But it is, you know, look, we all go through an evolution, and that's what we're talking about. But it was a great question, Patrick. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your answer.
You know, I want to throw one thing in here, an expansion to what you said. I know we're going to finish up this section, but I just realized, because I do this all the time, and I actually point it out to people that I'm supervising and things. It's like I do the same thing with clients, and it's rather than, and this may be one influence that you've had on me that I haven't registered that it was you, but it's like, is when people are talking to me about something in their lives, my reflection back is more likely to say, wow, when you talk about that, you light up, you know, your eyes get so bright. It's like, and it's that piece that I've heard you talk about with raising children. It's like, I see what this is. I see you, you know, in this, and rather than me judge what they're saying, it's like, it's what my opinion is of what they're talking about is not nearly as important as the fact that we see them. Especially I know for me, it's been helpful to me for people to feedback what they see in me as far as enthusiasm and excitement and positive feelings, because I've had to learn to over time to have those feelings for myself.
Well, you're always telling us, Alan, and I love this framework, that emotional sobriety is about in its essence, is about the discovery of new possibilities. And you brought some podcast merch, whether conscious or unconscious, today. Your shirt says "Tu est possible." How do you pronounce it?
I let Tom. Tom speaks French better than
no. I don't. No.
That was my
did a good job. That is. Look, everything is possible. See, I got this shirt good. When I was in Paris. I went to the Cirque du Soleil Alegria, and that was the theme of the show. Everything is possible. And when you've seen some of these different acrobats perform these unbelievable skills. Understand why they called it "Everything Is Possible" was the theme of the show, because I'm sitting there going, how did he do that, or how did she do that, or what is going on here? And there's no illusion. It was actual people pushing the bounds of what is possible as a human being.
Yep.
And of course, you know, what we see is the finished, polished version. You know, as Tom has brought to our attention so many times, which I've been so, as time goes on, I appreciate it more and more, that it's all about practice. Mm-hmm. And you can see the hours that went into these people perfecting these skills must have been incredible, right? And what we saw was an amazing thing, but it was the result of such a high level of concentration, some natural athletic ability, some great coaching. I mean, so much went into it. But, you know, when we say everything is possible, one of the great things about emotional sobriety, I think, that we've discovered is that one of the things that's possible is freedom and emotional freedom. And to me, when we have emotional freedom, then everything is possible. Because at that point in time, nothing that happens in my life is a problem anymore. It's a challenge. It's an opportunity. It's a way to try to find the best possible way of coping with that situation at the time. And look, you know, we've inherited that. That's not just what emotional sobriety talks about. But when you look at the work of Virginia Satir, she talked about this way back in the 50s, is that the problem is not the problem. It's how we cope with it. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about her whole system of growth and everything she talks about working with families was that whole piece, is that's what she brought into our consciousness. And you can really see how wonderful and how powerful an idea that is when we bring it into this realm of emotional sobriety.
Yes.
So I love that theme. Everything is possible. We're going to create a feature that's going to say emotional sobriety assisted recovery. Instead of medication assisted recovery.
I love it. Yeah, but emotional freedom happens when we are safe. You know, and I always make this point to my clients. That doesn't mean completely safe, you know, because we can always pick. But when we it's an experience where it's like, because when we're safe, we can take risk. When we're safe, we are not being controlled by that judging should monster in our head. You know, we're moving, we're not stagnant. When we're safe, we move forward. It's to me that what you just described as a magician who for all my life has depended on trickery to create these illusions, which takes some practice, but it's like you're talking about real magic. You're talking about things where when you look at things, sometimes you go like, that's fucking magic. And it just is. And you're seeing exactly what is real, and it is magical.
Yeah. It was. It really was. There were so many of those moments in that show when I'm sitting there and going, they are showing us that what the theme of this show, everything is possible. And that was so powerful, man. I was quite moving for me, you know, especially at the end of the trip in Paris, you know, bringing my girls over there, them getting sick and me just being able to let go of what we were going to do and focus on helping them recover and be nourished and nurtured during that time. You know, another subtle thing I picked up, Tom, and I think I mentioned it last time, this judgment thing. See, if I would have focused on, oh my God, our trip is ruined, we're not able to do all the things we plan. What does a child hear that's sick? Some I'm wrong. I learned something.
Yeah.
Right? And there's no fault of their own. It's not that they ruined anything. They didn't do anything. They're human beings. They got exposed to a bug, a virus, and they got sick. And if I would have my self-pity about it, not what I thought it should be, it would have infected them with some poor self-esteem. You're wrong.
And in addition to that, I mean, and maybe it's they lap over on each other, but it's like the truth is, this is one of the things when Patrick talks about the, you know, the your responsibility as a parent, it's like this is the responsibility as a parent that I'm grateful every day that I don't have, and that is being somebody's frontline role model. It's like the idea is, because the other thing you're doing, I mean, I'm going to say, even if one of your kids is, which I could imagine for your kids would have enough self-esteem not to take that on themselves, they're still learning. This is how you respond to things that don't go the way you want them to go. It's like, you know, you're a bad role model at that point. I mean, what you're doing without, they don't think of it that way, but you're showing acceptance. Hey, it's okay.
That's right.
The shrug. It's like, that's what happens.
And I think our example speaks louder than words, Tom. You're right.
You know it. Yeah.
Right? I mean, look, I learned so much. You know, when my father was dying from cancer, he never said, suffer in silence. That's what a man has to do. But that's what he lived. Yeah. He lived that. He suffered in silence. He didn't talk about his pain. He didn't talk about what was going on. And then after he dies, what do? I fall silent. Not that he told me to do that, but I saw his example, and that's what I lived.
No, that's a really good point, because I do that with my father too. Because if I look at my father's words to me, they were all wonderful. Be proud of yourself. Do this and that. But they had this implied, and sometimes it wasn't even implied. But the message but says, whatever you do, don't be like me. Yeah. Okay, you know, it's like that's not what he was meaning to say and send. He was wanting, he had more of a save yourself kind of mentality, you know, he needed to do it. I needed him to do it for himself.
To be able to embrace all of himself, right? You know, none of us are perfect. I have great parts to me. There's shitty parts to me. Every one of us do, you know, and like we said, but. You know, I am not any one of these parts. I'm the sum total of those, as we've talked about. Yeah. And, you know, when I put myself all together, you know, I see that I have some basic flaws. I have some shortcomings, but I work with those things and I deal with them. And I'm not my mistakes. I'm how I deal with my mistakes. See, that's the theme I have. That's another theme. That'll be the Cirque du Soleil show that we put on. We'll get up on it.
Emotional Cirque du Soleil.
I'm not my mistakes. I'm how I deal with my mistakes.
Also, Alan, I want you to know, if you run out of things to work on, I also have a list for you about things you can do. Yeah.
To the judgment thing. See, he's been holding on to this. How many years have we known each other? Oh, my God. See, the list.
I've been busy.
I've got a whole book on that, Patrick.
My experience of recovery has been that once I got physical sobriety, which happens pretty quickly once you make the decision, that I was getting by. That was my experience of the first couple years. It was just getting by and getting those chips. And I was engaging with people and therapists and fellowship and meetings and literature. But like, I wouldn't say that I was in a flow of discovering new possibilities, at least not that I was aware of in the early days. But then somewhere a switch happened. And now I would say that like, what my daily practice seems to be is like reaching beyond what I think I can do. And this is, this applies to everything, in my relationships, in my work, in my art. In my trying to do better with my taxes this year, but just like trying to reach beyond kind of what I think I can do, and then not being falling short of what an expectation, but then trying to have a gentler relationship with that failed, let's say, expectation, my failure to meet that unreasonable expectation, and then making an adjustment. I was very busy last year. I felt very overwhelmed a lot of the time. I was rushing between things, and in the rushing, you know, learning about, okay, where can I adjust to kind of be a little bit more efficient, do things a little bit better. It's a new year. It's the same shit. I'm overwhelmed again. I'm like, oh, this is just the way it's going to be now. I'm just busy all the time. And, you know, I had five things on my list for the day. Now I've got three. So how is my emotional sobriety, such as it is, going to meet that? And I think like, the new possibilities that you're talking about, it's, you know, maybe what that means for me is just always kind of like reaching for a place just beyond what I think I can do and then trying that out. And then,
not assuming
on the result,
not assuming a limit that you don't know is there.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, it has taken time, and it has been, you know, definitely there's been an evolution to get here, because, for a while I was just like, it's just get to the next day. You know what I mean? Like I couldn't, my world was a lot dimmer. And those possibilities were not things that I was aware of, but, I think that's maybe something that we're selling, is that, you know, with time and, you know, effort, those become visible.
Right. Also, our job in recovery and our emotional sobriety is to increase compassion for ourselves through time, looking back, because we've judged ourselves so harshly, it's wonderful to have new perspective. When you said, you know, I wasn't really doing new possibilities when I was getting sober, I'm going like, no, I remember a guy when I first came before I got sober, when I was just working with alcoholics, and somebody just said that line that just said, I can quit. Quit's easy. He said, keep and quit. That's the challenge. Keep and quit. Was a new possibility for you, Patrick. It's like there's no doubt about it, and you were doing it every damn day, you know, and all day long. And it's like, you know, in that, from here, it doesn't seem miraculous, but when you were doing it, it's miraculous. I have a friend of mine that used to say to me, "He's like, well, you remember how hard that was?"
I think this is the way we keep going.